Good morning, early birds. Roses are red, violets are indigo, and you've caught the worm from Yellowstone Public Radio. Rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about spring enrollment for three Montana universities, how Yellowstone County plans to lower drug-related crime and addiction, and the first Democratic gubernatorial forum for 2020. It's Friday, February 14th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Happy Valentine's Day. The Environmental Protection Agency unveiled a final cleanup deal for Butte, marking a crucial turning point in the decades-long Superfund saga of Montana's mining city. Nora Sachs with Montana Public Radio's Richest Hill podcast reports.
More than a century of copper mining in Butte helped electrify America and win both world wars. But it also left behind a huge toxic mess that earned the city Superfund site designation in the 1980s. In 2017, President Trump's Environmental Protection Agency put Butte on its Superfund emphasis list, vowing to move the languishing cleanup forward. At the Finland Hotel in Butte, Regional Administrator Gregory Sopkin revealed that a final cleanup deal between EPA, the county, state, and former oil company Atlantic Richfield had been reached.
Today we are announcing and we are celebrating a proposal that will help bring closure to nearly four decades of Superfund activity in Butte.
In the long-awaited Superfund deal, Atlantic Richfield will spend more than $150 million to permanently clean up the rest of Butte's contaminated soil and water and build a 120-acre green space in the historic Silver Bow Creek corridor. The legally and financially binding Superfund settlement comes in the midst of President Trump's proposal to drastically cut both the budget of EPA and the Superfund program. Butte Silver Bow's Council of Commissioners has to now vote to approve the Superfund deal before it can be submitted to a federal court for review. I'm Nora Sachs, Montana Public Radio.
Spring enrollment numbers are out for three of Montana's universities, and all three have found some positive news in their numbers. Kay Erickson reports.
Montana State University once again boasts the largest enrollment in the state, with their spring count at 15,561 students. That number is down 133 from spring 2019 enrollment, but the campus reports a 9% growth in overall spring student count over the past 5 years. University of Montana spring numbers show a count of 10,247 students. That's a drop of nearly 400 students from spring of last year. Enrollment at UM has dropped 35% since 2011. But UM has some positive news, with improvement in retention of students from fall to enrollment growth in graduate and law schools. Montana State University Billings reports its spring numbers are the highest in 5 years, with a total 4,314 students between the university campus and City College. That's up 26 students from spring last year. The Billings University is reporting the greatest growth in auto collision repair and refinishing and in chemistry. I'm Kay Erickson for Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Glacier National Park will continue offering free shuttle rides for visitors around the park in 2020. The service has been in question after Flathead County pulled out of its contract to run the shuttles. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports.
Park officials say they will put the 2020 shuttle operating contract out to bid this week. Flathead County canceled its contract with Glacier National Park in December, arguing that the park wasn't paying enough to provide drivers for its shuttle fleet. Glacier spokesperson Jenna Kersman says the service will be similar to past years, but there will be some additions.
We're offering the Logan Pass Express from St. Mary at 7 a.m. In the past, this has only run from the west side, but now there will be an express from the St. Mary from the east side. The second change is we're instituting a transfer stop at Sunpoint like we currently do at Avalanche. We're trying to mirror the east side operation to the west side operation.
The park hopes to award the contract by the end of March. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
For the second consecutive election cycle, someone is paying out-of-state signature gatherers to qualify the Green Party for the Montana ballot. And again, the Montana Green Party says it isn't them. A conservative political action committee that helped raise $250,000 for State Auditor Matt Rosendale's U.S. House campaign filed paperwork with the Commissioner of Political Practices last week to spend money for a Green Party signature gathering effort. However, a spokesperson said yesterday they had decided against it. A signature gatherer working in downtown Helena said he was hired by Advanced Micro Targeting, the same company that handled Green Party signature gathering in 2018. He did not know who hired his employer. A group of government agencies and Yellowstone County organizations have released a plan they say will cut back on drug-related crime and addiction in the region. The plan was 2 years in the making. Members of the Yellowstone County Connect Coalition shared personal stories as they explained the process of developing the action plan. Karen Sylvester is co-chair of the Prevention Task Force, part of the larger Yellowstone County Connect Coalition. She says her adopted son's biological family used excessive drugs, including during pregnancy.
He has been my son for over 6 years, and he's an incredible kid who's going to do amazing things. But the reason that I'm engaged is because I want less of these stories.
Yellowstone County Connect says their study of the county shows just over 4,000 adults and teenagers aged 12 years and older are dependent on or using drugs, while 95,000 misuse alcohol. Local law enforcement has said the rise in drug use in Yellowstone County, especially meth, has led to a burdened court system and foster care system, and increased crime rate in recent years. According to the National Survey of Drug Use and Health, in 2014, about 1 in 10 Montanans had a substance use disorder. The Yellowstone Group's ultimate vision for Billings is to have the lowest addiction and drug-related crime rates in Montana. Kurt Almy, U.S. Attorney for the District of Montana, explained how they could reach that goal.
The plan has three priorities: prevention, to prevent our kids from moving down the path toward addiction; diversion and treatment, to divert people from drug-related crime through access to effective and appropriate treatment; and third, system capacity. This is not going to be a flash in the pan that comes with a plan that sits on desks and disappears.
The plan's strategies for reaching that goal include creating a community crisis line, providing training for mental health in schools, and coordinating prevention funding between government and non-government groups. Almy says this could be a test program that, if successful, could help other towns in Montana and across the country.
I was just yesterday meeting with over 40 leaders from the Missoula community, who every one of them at the end of the meeting signed on to replicate our structure and take what we've done and help bend it for the needs of Missoula County.
Along with about 120 people, including healthcare professionals and local law enforcement, Billings Mayor Bill Cole attended the Yellowstone Plan kickoff. He discussed the plan with Billings City Council members, State Representative Kathy Kelker, and a representative for U.S. Senator Steve Daines at his table.
The key person to be talking to, and we've got almost a quarter of the City Council.
After the tabletop discussions, Mayor Cole expressed his support for the plan by advocating for the public safety mill levy, which could appear on local ballots this year. The levy, which the Yellowstone County Connect plan supports, would raise $25 million over 5 years to pay for things like law enforcement and emergency services.
Everybody in this room needs to know that time is critical for the public safety mill levy. I don't want to speak for the entire City Council, but I'm pretty confident that the vast majority fully understands the city needs to play some role in prevention and treatment, which it has not done in the past.
According to project manager Becky Bay, the coalition consulted with Rocky Mountain Tribal Leadership, the Urban Indian Health and Wellness Center, and the Native American Development Corporation about the plan. Leanne Bruisedhead, a public health advisor for Indian Health Services, wants to expand Native American involvement further.
We'd like to be part of the plan. If you could include Indian Health Service facilities and or tribal programs, I'd be more than happy to facilitate that conversation.
Yellowstone County Connect released their initial community needs assessment in June last year. Their report says violent crime in the county rose 81% from 2010 to 2017. Law enforcement attribute the rise to meth use. The coalition plans to have the first update on the progress of their work in the fall or next winter. Work groups and the executive committee for the coalition will meet in March. For YPR News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. The two Democratic primary candidates for the 2020 governor's race each argue they're the best candidate to defend the party's decade-and-a-half hold on the office from Republicans. Current Lieutenant Governor Mike Cooney and businesswoman Whitney Williams faced off in their first forum Wednesday night. Kayla DeRoche reports candidates fielded questions on topics including public safety, women's health care, and access to public land.
The MSUB College Democrats and Yellowstone County Democrats co-hosted the event on the Montana State University Billings campus. Around 200 people arrived to hear Lieutenant Governor Mike Cooney and businesswoman Whitney Williams. Several attendees told YPR before the event they wanted to learn more about the candidates and didn't have their minds made up about who they would support. A few, like Democrat Virginia Quartz, said they weren't familiar with Williams before she launched her campaign.
I am completely unacquainted with Whitney Williams, so I'm anxiously looking forward to see what she's like, how she comes across, what her policy is, and I know Mike Cooney fairly well, and I want to see what the differences are between the two of them.
Williams has never held public office, but has deep political ties in the state. Williams' parents are former Congressman Pat Williams and former Senate Majority Leader Carol Williams, the first woman to hold the position in the state. Williams has also worked on multiple campaigns for Hillary Clinton. Cooney, meanwhile, is a more recognizable face in recent state Democratic politics. He took over as Lieutenant Governor in 2016, and before that served as Secretary of State and in both chambers of the Montana Legislature. Retired public lands worker Democrat Mike Penfold had the Republican competition on his mind Wednesday night. Penfold said he considers the current Republican majority legislature dangerous.
We better have a governor in there that if we don't get a legislature that's got more Democrats on it, we better have a good, strong governor who can stop some of the stuff that these guys put forward.
Democrats have held the governor's seat for around 15 years, and it's been a top goal of Montana's Republican Party to change that trend. The GOP has held a majority in both the state House and Senate for nearly a decade. During the forum, Williams and Cooney attacked Republican gubernatorial candidate Greg Gianforte, who's raised the most money in Montana's Republican Party primary race for governor. Cooney and Williams both tried to portray themselves as the best candidate to take on perceived threats from a Republican-controlled government on issues like access to abortion services, health care for people with low income, and access to public lands. Cooney fashioned himself as an experienced hand in Montana politics and someone who will protect public education, health care for low-income people, and women's rights.
I'm not going to let Greg Gianforte become governor. He's not going to be making these decisions. I'm going to be making those decisions for the people of Montana, and I will stand strong and firm, making sure that women do not need to worry about losing their right to their control over their own body and their health decisions.
Although the two candidates agreed on most issues during the forum, including preserving funding for public schools and Medicaid expansion, each tried to set themselves apart from the other. Williams strove to distinguish herself as a new voice for Montana Democrats who will be able to apply her business background, for instance, to the issue of sex trafficking. She said that would be a top priority for her as governor.
I'll say that my company, as a businesswoman, has worked very closely with communities working on stopping sex trafficking of young girls by bringing together law enforcement and technology companies to help law enforcement find victims more quickly.
Williams runs the company Williams Works, a consulting company that focuses on public policy, advocacy, and philanthropy. Some people hung back to mingle after the forum wrapped up. Michael Nelson, who works with political youth engagement group Forward Montana, was at the event in a personal capacity. He said he found it refreshing that each candidate brought a different perspective to the table.
Cooney very much relying on his experience and his administrative chops and his long career of fighting for the issues that many of us care about. Williams really asking us to broaden our perspective and think of new ways to tackle these challenges.
The three Republican candidates in the GOP primary, U.S. Congressman Greg Gianforte, State Attorney General Tim Fox, and State Senator Al Olszewski, held their first debate in Billings in January. The primary election is June 2nd. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds Monday morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.